Well, we are in the final stretch of the book of Joshua. We went from chapters 1 through 12, and you may be wondering, how did we end up on 23 today? That's because chapters 13 through 22 are dividing of the land. And not that we can never learn anything from those chapters, but it really is just telling how the land was divided. And so we are in chapter 23 today. And as we begin chapter 1, I wanted to sort of remind you of how we got here and just briefly revisit over the next 2 weeks the building blocks of God's commands to Joshua to be strong and courageous. And that's the same for you and I today. It was this command that drove Joshua to do the things that he did. And it's this command that will drive us to do what God has called us to do for our body with enduring faith. So our team has reminded you over the last 14 weeks that in order for us to see what it is that God wants for this body sooner than later, that's my input, it will require enduring faith. It will require every one of us who call this a place of worship. If you call this place, Abundant ALCF Bay Area, your place of worship, then it's going to require that each and every one of us be on our knees regularly. It's going to require that each and every one of us be in the Word of God regularly. And then we're going to ask Him, as we have been. And I believe that He's going to make that clear to us exactly what His will is. Church, I'm convinced that God has done, He's doing, and He wants to continue to do a robust work in you and I. He wants to do a work in you and I. He's already doing a work in you and I. But God also calls us to move closer to understand what it is that He wants. We want to do this in complete and total obedience. I've been practicing complete obedience during this series. I've been digging in and asking God about what it is that you need, the body, and how our leadership team can equip you to do that. It's different in every season. We can't assume that God is operating the same today as He did yesterday. And so why do I feel like digging in? Why do I feel like this is the season in which we do it? Because I think one of the greatest hindrances of growth in the church is disobedience. Amen. We're listening more to what people are saying rather than what God is saying. We're taking the church's, the world's rather, worldly values and principles and systems, and we're trying to implement them in God's church. And God is saying, I have my own set of principles and values, and those are the ones that you are to be moving with. And so we're wasting our time because God's not going to sign off on any conjured up values and principles that we do. But thank God we have the Word of God, right, to dig into and to understand and to know and to walk out. And so that's what makes me excited about this series. That's what makes me excited about you and I as we grow and we develop, because we are constantly growing, we are constantly developing in our walk with Christ. And I love that. I love it because we know that perfection is not attainable. Something I tell my kids all the time, we're not striving to be perfect because it can't happen. There's only one perfect person, and that's the Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And so I thank God that I get to serve alongside of all of you and witness the obedience and the courage and the strength that you all bring and the faith in the one who has promised us so much. So let's continue in that. I believe with all my heart that God wants to build this church differently than He has in the past. But this is going to require a mindset change. I believe that He wants to use this body even more so than He has in these months and in these last few years. And all these pieces, I believe all the pieces are necessary, and I believe all the pieces that God is looking for are right here in our body. Right? We may have to go to the outside for some things, but I'm believing and trusting God that what is sitting in these chairs today, the man and the woman, the young man and woman, those who will soon be young men and women, the generations, right? We've been talking about that, are right here in our body. And God wants to use you. He wants to use you to minister to me. He wants to use me to minister to you. That's what the body is. I have a title. Our elders have names and titles, and those are just something, that's just God's structure of the church. But we are all one. We're on the same playing field. I need him like you need him. I trust him like you trust him. I have to get on my knees like you get on your knees. We're a body, and I love that. I love how God has built his church. So I want everybody to pray for our church weekly. If you can commit to do that, whether you're here today, you're watching online, you'll hear this later from somebody who's sitting in here, be praying for our church weekly. I know that many of you, we went through our 40 days of prayer and consecration. I know many of you are doing that, but let's continue to do that. Pray weekly, right? Serve in whatever capacity God will have you serve. I was looking at Mark 10:45 this week, and it just simply says that Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And so how much more you and I? He's not talking about wearing yourself out, but he's talking about just serving the kingdom in some capacity. Many of us are doing that in our workplace. You're doing that here in the church. You're doing that in so many different ways. But let's all be doing that. All right, take out your devices. And take out your devices, take out your Bibles, whichever you use, and meet me in Joshua chapter 23. Joshua chapter 23. We're going to be wrapping up this week and next. And I'm just excited. I don't know what he has in store, but he has something for you and I. He has something for this body. I think he wants to expand our reach in this community in so many different ways. Just trust me with him. I didn't plan to say that, but I trust God. I trust God. All right. Joshua chapter 23. You're going to read along with me. Can we have that up, please? After a long time had passed and the Lord had given Israel rest from all their enemies around them, Joshua, by then a very old man, summoned all of Israel, their elders, leaders, judges, and officials, and said to them, "I am very old." He's in touch with himself, huh? "You yourselves have seen everything the Lord your God has done to all these nations for your sake. It was the Lord your God who fought for you. Remember how I have allotted as an inheritance for your tribes all the lands of the nations that remain, the nations I conquered between the Jordan and the Mediterranean Sea in the west. The Lord your God himself will push them out for your sake. He will drive them out before you, and you will take possession of their land as the Lord your God promised you. Be very strong. Be careful to obey all that is written in the book of the law of Moses without turning aside to the right or to the left." You remember that from Judges. "Do not associate with these nations that remain among you. Do not invoke the names of their gods or swear by them. You must not serve them or bow down to them. But you are to hold fast to the Lord your God as you have until now. The Lord has driven out before you great and powerful nations, and to this day, no one has been able to withstand you." Thank you, Lord. One of you routs 1,000 because the Lord God fights for you just as he promised. So be very careful. So be very careful to love the Lord your God. But if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will be snares and traps for you, whips on your backs, thorns in your eyes until you perish from this good land, which the Lord your God has given you. Now I am about to go the way of all the earth. He's about to pass. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. But just as all the good things the Lord your God has promised you have come to you, so he will bring on you all the evil things he has threatened until the Lord your God has destroyed you from this good land he has given you. If you violate the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and go and serve other gods and bow down to them, the Lord's anger will burn against you, and you will quickly perish from the good land that he has given you. Amen. What a good word. So this week and next, we're going to see that Joshua is at the end of his life. He's old. He's advanced in age. And this is Joshua's last time in this chapter and next week's to address the leaders and the people where he's at. We'll see that again in chapter 24. He'll does his second farewell address. I started to think about what I would say when I turned 90. Now, Joshua's 110 here, but I plan to live to 90. I've told my family that so they can plan. That's the age that I asked God to be here until. But he's actually 110, but I'm not going to live that long. But what I would say, what would I say in these moments? Some of us would talk about the projects we did at work and how you developed something and it's become, you know, tech today. Some of you will talk about the generations of how your family, you know, all your kids and then their children that you got to see. You may talk about that. But Joshua goes a different route. He's neither negative nor is he self-righteous in his approach. See, Moses is dead, and Joshua never once says to the people that hope is lost without him. He never once says that it's going to be hard to move on. See, I am sure that he thought these are big shoes to fill, but his second thought, I imagine, would be, well, if God was with Moses and he was fighting for him, well, heck, he's going to fight for me too. See, Joshua learned that lesson quickly. He had seen and he had watched and he had witnessed God move with power and authority on behalf of his people. Now that we're at the end of this, this is at the very end of the last conquest of Canaan, right? Joshua's 85. We know that because he's the same age as Caleb. But this was 25 years after Israel had defeated the last of their enemies. So Joshua understands in this moment that it was time for a leadership change, right? And at the end of his life, and he had some solid biblical advice that he wanted to give to the leaders and for his leaders to have and for the people to have. So family, I think about how is it that you and I are going to ensure that the next generation knows God? Because that's what happened here is the next generation, he was afraid, and this is why he gives these warnings that they're called in this book, that the next generation would not know God. In fact, we're going to see a couple of verses in which he literally says it, that they would not know him and that it would not be passed on beyond him. See, if we are a church who knows Jesus and makes him known, we need to be diligent about sharing our lives with others. And that's one of the reasons that people think Christians are so fake, because we don't share real life struggles. Real life struggles. And how God got us to the point we are now. You see, we can talk about the 30-year-old you, and we can talk about the 40-year-old you, and we could talk about the 50 or 60 or 70-year-old as you're towards the end of your life, right? you may see that gentle and quiet grandmother, but that gentle and quiet grandmother wasn't always gentle and quiet. She cussed a few people out from time to time. She lost her temper from time to time. But if we don't tell the next generation that, hey, listen, look what God has done. Look where I'm at now. Then it comes off as fake. A couple of Sundays ago, Toju shared with us the importance of passing on to the next generation. And that's why testimonies are so important. I'm not talking about bragging testimonies. You've seen them. People who almost seem like they're happy that that happened in their life. They're more excited about what they used to be and what they did, and I was the biggest this, and I was this and that, than they are about the transformation that happened when Jesus came into their lives. But I'm just talking about testimonies of sharing where you've been and where you are now. And that's what I imagine that's going on here with Joshua. He is talking to them about that. It's so important to remember that we can pass things on, but also because of our sinful nature, we need to make sure that we don't forget. I love what Samantha Storm says. She says it this way. She says, sin is almost always the fruit of forgetting. We forget our former condition. We forget God's saving love. We forget his forgiveness. We forget scripture. We forget where we've been. Right? This is why it's so important for the life of the church that we tell of the goodness of God and that we pass it along. That's one, but here are two more from this passage that I want us to look at, and then we're going to just focus our time on these two, right? This passage is split between verses 1 through 8, which we're going to get your first take home for today, and then 9 through 16 as well. See, so as Joshua prepares the people for a leadership change, we learn that he's old, but we learn that he's a strong leader. He has been faithful to God. God has been faithful to him, and the nation as a whole has been faithful during the possessing of all of the land. So Joshua highlights two very pivotal warnings and admonishments to the leaders that they are leading. And the very first one he says in verse 8, he says, simply, hold fast. Hold fast. I started thinking about hold fast in the different areas of scripture where that is, and I was thinking about it, holding fast to the Lord. Here's what the Bible says about it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 through 28. I don't believe this is going to be on the screen, so you can navigate to it or turn to it. 1 Thessalonians 5, 21 through 28, he says, prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearances of evil. And the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and your soul and body will be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Revelations 3:11 says, I'm coming soon. He makes it clear here. I'm coming soon. So hold fast to what you have. You know, many of us, you may not have a lot from a world's perspective. But did you know that if you have Jesus in your life, you have everything. Amen. You have everything. So when he says here, hold fast to what you have, oh, God has given you so much. Not only in his word, he's poured things into you. He's given you gifts. He's given you all types of different intellectual things. There are things about you that other people don't have, right? Because what does he say? I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. He's made us all unique, right? So when we talk to a brother or sister, we get to hear what it is that God has created. Hold fast to what you have so that, and he ends this way, so that no one may seize your crown. Wow. So that no one may seize your crown. In other words, so that nobody may take away your joy, that nobody would talk down at you, nobody would come against you. There is nothing that can come against you. We sang it, but we got to believe it too. All three of those songs, excellent selections by our worship team that point us to God. And I'm excited about that. I'm encouraged by that. No one may seize your crown. Boy, if we just stand on the word of God, I tell you, I don't have to have everything all together. I have a God who has it all together. And then in Hebrews 10:23, he says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Isn't he faithful? We can encourage ourselves through the word of God. Hebrews 10:23. And then it's another place it says, to everyone who's hurting, right? This is Hebrews. This is another translation. I love it. To everyone who's hurting, to those who've had enough, to all the undeserving, that should cover all of us. This is what it says. Please do not let go. I promise there is hope. Hold fast. Help is on the way. Hold fast. He's come to save the day. What I've learned in my life, one thing greater than strife is his grasp. So hold fast. Someone took the scripture and made it into a poem, and I love that. Hold fast on to God. Pray, verse 12 says, that you will be, my prayer is that you'll be fully dependent on God. And that's going to be our prayer as we leave here today. The end of this message is that you would be fully dependent on God and that you would not look anywhere else for your answers, for comfort, for understanding. He gives it. And he may use other people. Yes, we know this. He does it all the time. But God is your source. Verse 12, we'll read it again. It says, but if you turn away and ally yourselves with the survivors of these nations, right? He's talking about, when he says survivor of the nations, he's talking about that those were, that were not wiped out in those wars, that remain among you, and if you intermarry with them and associate with them, then you may be sure that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you. Instead, they will become snares and they will become traps for you, whips on your back, thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord God has given you. Why do I go back to that? Sometimes it's good to walk you through history so that you know the what, but a lot of times it's better to know the why. And I shouldn't say better. Sometimes it's good to know the why. So Joshua is warning them that they ought not turn away from their faith in that verse. Right? There are many things that you and I are going to encounter, and as you go along with life, you're going to encounter, and there are going to be things that are going to make you try or try to get you to turn away from your faith, right? You can see that you see that you can be a Christian and live in a way that shows that you're turning away from God. Did you know that? You can be walking with Christ, but if you live in a way that shows that you are turning away from God. He's warning them to be careful not to become yoked or connected, rather, to leave a modern translation, connected with them, right? He says, be careful with becoming or adopting idolatry is pretty much what he's saying. Like the beliefs of those who've survived the battle that Israel won. In other words, guard your heart, he's saying, love God, follow his commandments. Deuteronomy 6:4-5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. Love him with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength, right? That's where that comes from. So he's basically saying in this verse is, don't intermarry. Don't intermarry. Meaning, if you look at the New Testament, you think about Paul in the New Testament. He said, I'd rather you be single. Why? Because you can put all your focus on the Lord, and you can serve the Lord with gladness. But if you get married, he says there's a certain way to marry. And I wanted to bring out this point because it's here in this passage for a reason, right? He says, if you marry, do it with someone who loves the Lord your God. See, Joshua wanted to warn them of marrying people who did not have the same faith in God. Why? Because it sets you up for failure. It brings in outside influences that will deter you from your faith, right? Who did we see this with? We saw this with Solomon, right? Solomon intermarried, and what ended up happening? Pagan idols he was creating, setting up pagan altars all around, right? So that's a word for somebody who's single today. Maybe you're tired of being single. I get it. We were all once there, and many of you are there right now. Some of you are happy just, I get to do what I do when I want to do it, and I don't have to say anything to anybody. And you're happy with that. But for those of you who want to marry, this is an excellent word. Not my word, but it's in the word. Verse 12, this is an excellent word. I know it says, do not be equally yoked, and sometimes we have to translate that into today so that people will understand, but that's what the Bible says. It's, don't be unequally yoked, right? So find somebody who loves God. And if they say that, let me quit. If they say they love God, right, and they're coming to church and, you know, you see them, they got a new Bible and they're coming to worship and, you know, they're here. Take your time. You want somebody who loves the Lord, right? Now, I'm not saying we were all in some place at some time. There were years sometimes where, I'll share my own. When I first came to church, it was with my two best friends. And I was going because they invited me, and their dad was the pastor, and I had spent time at their house, and so I was like, yeah, pick me up. You know, I'm not doing anything anyways on a Sunday. But I was going through the motions, you know, got a Bible, but give it time. God just allows you to start reading that Bible, start praying and having a relationship with him, and we get developed along the way. But the point here is, do not intermarry. Be careful about who it is that you yoke up with, right? Who you continue. It's not to say that you can't have someone who's fairly new in their faith or anything like that, but just look out for yourselves as you're going along. But the point being, do not intermarry is what he's saying. He's saying basically, don't violate our covenant with God. Singles, you know, listen to what Joshua is saying. You don't want to drag just any old person into your life because you're ready to get married. God has the person for you, and just believe that. And so that's what he's saying in verse 12. So pray that nothing whatsoever would come between you and God, right? Nothing that would come between you and him. The other second thing we see is after we get past verse 12, we look into verse 14. In verse 14, it says, pray that nothing will take place for God's authority and promise in your life, that nothing's going to take the place. So we talked about holding fast and hanging in there, not turning to the left or to the right, right? Not violating our covenant. God wants us to hold fast onto him. And not only are we to sit there, and not only are we to hold fast, but we are to seek him, right? Joshua is saying, we want to seek him. We want to go after him in the way that we live our lives. How do we do that? We connected with other believers, right? Connected with other believers. Why? Because as it says in verse 12 through 14, it says, do not turn away. Do not turn away, right? So that's the second thing that Joshua shows us. Don't turn away. Fully depend on God, and don't look anywhere else for help. Says, but if you turn away and ally yourselves with those survivors, then you'll find yourself in a not so good position. Right? So let's remember those two lessons that God has told us. Pray daily that you would fully depend on him, that you wouldn't turn away from him, right? That you would grasp him, that he would allow you to see what it is that he wants for your life, what it is that he wants for this church. The word says here that you are the one who fought for me. So remember that he fought for you. And he gives us a grateful heart for fighting. He keeps us and he helps us to do what's written in the word of God. He helps us not to leave the path that you have set before us, that he has set before you. He's made it very clear. So don't turn away and hold fast to the Lord.